Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Camp takes the snap. He'll keep it. Running left side. Dives, and he's tripped up shy of the goal line. It's over.
Seattle made a good play.
It was a great play by them.
Dale Arnold.
They played the damsel in distress and said, come save me, and they gave the ball to Cam. The New England Patriots are going to be all right because Superman has returned.
Rich Key.
My heart's heavy, you know, because one of my teammates, James White, you know, from Wisconsin, had a tough one, you know, losing his dad. I'm not sure what the situation with his mom yet, but my heart's been heavy all day.
You stay classy.
Dale and Keith with Fitzy.
Marcus Smart.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Nick Fitzy Stevens is in the house with us.
How are you?
And the Boston Celtics will not play again until Wednesday, but it is not the funeral march that it felt like going into Game 3, because not only did they win, but they looked pretty good. Looked like they didn't want to kill each other. That was an impressive victory for the Celtics over the Heat in Game 3 of this series.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they, after two games, it just looked so bad, and they couldn't close out big leads. You know, we were joking about Matt Patricia blowing all these big leads. Well, the Celtics are doing the same thing in the first couple games of the series, and then they get Gordon Hayward back, and not that he played out of his mind or anything, but just having him out there,
it stabilized things, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And it was just such a difference. And giving him minutes over, you know, more semi-Ojeleye, or even though he's looked good at times, Brad Wanamaker, or just some of these guys off the bench that just really aren't at that level, you insert Gordon Hayward and it changes things. My one kind of concern, I guess, still about this series is, in a close game late, do you have any faith in the Celtics being better than the Heat?
Nope.
Because this was a game in which,
I got to be honest, I keep waiting for Jimmy Butler to show up, though, and he hasn't really so far.
That's No, he hasn't. That's true. But in Game 3, Dragic and Butler were so bad, the team, the Heat, missed like 15 consecutive threes, and they made it like somewhat competitive at the end, but they were down 20, and then they just started throwing in threes, and you're like, whatever, and the Celtics were trying to run it out. But I mean, if the game is 2 minutes to go, tie game, I still have more faith in the Miami Heat to not panic and freak out and lose control.
It was a 20-point lead. It got as close to 7, and then they ended up winning by 11.
Right.
Something else happened earlier in the game, and it was a consistent theme throughout the game. What was it? Oh, the Celtics were aggressive.
Helps.
You know what they also much did? Different.
They passed the ball against the zone rather than slamming the ball into the floor over and over and over again.
That's right. And
that was nice.
This isn't about zones.
Yeah, it kind of was a little bit.
It was actually a little bit. They were hitting their shots. Now, listen, law of averages also dictates that the Heat are going to make their shots some nights and they're going to miss them some other nights.
Yeah.
Would I bet on the Heat having another ice cold start like they did Saturday? And even though they fought their way back in by the second quarter, I would not. I would prepare for them actually having a better game one or game two like showing. But the Celtics need to stay as aggressive as they were in game three throughout the rest of the series if they think they're going to keep up with the Heat.
So we were a little bit concerned, not about Gordon Hayward returning and possibly playing. We were concerned about how long is he going to stick around? How long is he going to play? So imagine my surprise, and Rich, I got the impression you were surprised as well.
No.
When we got the report about Hayward, and of course his wife is very pregnant, awaiting the birth of their child back here, and Hayward talked about dealing with his wife's pregnancy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that obviously wasn't in the plan, getting injured
and going back to Indianapolis for treatment. I trust those guys with everything back there. And so, you know, obviously I think a little bit lucky that Robin was there already in Indy, so I got a chance to be at home and get great treatment. But you know, that wasn't in the plan. And I mean, Robin could be, you know, having a baby at any point in time. And so, you know, I think it's probably something that I'll be here. You know, by the time I get back, I might miss the birth if she just goes in and rushes into the hospital. So we discussed it, we prayed about it, and I think it's probably best if I stay here and, you know, help our team.
No, I wasn't surprised because you remember we went through.
I was surprised he was going to stay. No, even when she has the child, he's not going.
No, I know. We discussed this. Remember a week ago when
right.
she had the Instagram post about next time we see you,
yep.
you won't be the only boy. And we were, and again, a bit vague, but mm-hmm. my takeaway from that was, oh, she's letting him stay in there.
Yeah.
And she's, because
go get him, Tiger.
They broke up the time apart. It wasn't, hey, whatever, end of June, early July until now. And like he hadn't seen the family for months. He went back and had a chance to spend time with them for a week. So now it's like, all right, you go back in there. You're already in the conference finals. So even if you play the finals, you know, yeah, we're gonna miss
three
you.
More
you
weeks
you might
or
miss
something.
This. Right. And so I kind of, and again, it wasn't super clear, but the way I read it was, yeah, he's going to stay. And then Rachel Nichols jumped in the middle of the game and sort of, you know, delivered that news. And I was like, all right, there you go. Kind of confirms what I thought.
I kind of also have the feeling that Hayward's super committed because he admitted after the game, like, am I 100% now? Nope. It
no.
is what it is. I'm going to play through it. So it's great to see that kind of gamesmanship from him. And I think that is something, in addition to harnessing the emotions of Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown, that fueled the Celtics as well. Like, look, this guy's here. He could easily bail on us right now if he wanted to because
oh,
we were a dysfunctional mess at the end of game two.
He has two life excuses.
Yeah, he's got
he has an injury
yeah.
excuse and he's got a family
he's
excuse.
He's got every designation yeah. available and the guy decides to stick it out. And he does make a difference. He makes even if he's not playing his A game, we're not going to see vintage Hayward.
Yeah, you don't need him to score 20 points.
Ago. No, I don't.
Right, but if he has some
legitimate
great passes.
Threat, yeah. had some nice passes,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he did.
It got to a point where I was able to enjoy and appreciate everybody like making their own like Gordon Hayward mustache jokes here on Twitter Saturday.
Plenty
night,
of those.
Was,
those
always a good time.
Stop.
Looked yep. like he was going to show up at the 5 points and maybe like the Bill the Butcher he's got
like
going
a bare
on.
Bare knuckle boxing match of some sort. Yes, that could happen.
Exactly.
But he played 31 minutes.
That's a lot for a guy yeah. who's playing on a bum ankle.
And he was out for a month.
Yeah.
And that's why I love the days off because everybody's like, oh, who does it help? Well, Hayward.
Him.
It's specifically Hayward more than anybody else.
Uh-huh.
3 days off in between games, you'll take.
Fitzy's point,
yes,
you had the dumpster fire at the end of game two,
oh.
furniture being tossed around.
Pizza party.
There was
meeting.
A late night pizza party to
uh-huh.
try to get the boys back together and
Always
all that
helps.
Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So Jaylen Brown, after the win in game three, was asked what the previous 48 hours had been like.
That it was probably blown out of proportion. Like, we are in a bubble. It's a lot of grown men. It's a lot of passion and emotion going on. But at the end of the day, we're a family. We represent this organization. We represent each other. We won't ever let anything come in between that. We got a tremendous opportunity, and we understand that. And nothing's going to stop us from trying to maximize that.
Was that?
Except maybe the Heat.
Was that Brad Stevens or was that Jaylen Brown?
That was Jaylen Brown.
They have a very similar, cadence.
Similar cadence,
does it,
yeah.
I always feel like when I hear Jaylen Brown speak, he's going to begin with, if you don't mind, I have a few remarks I've prepared. Like, he always is very measured, very,
yes.
like,
yeah,
has
yeah,
that,
yeah.
like, sort of semi-dramatic tone about him, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to hear that they've been able to sort of, like, mop the floor and, you know, sweep out the dysfunction and air out those emotions. Saturday, Ken Laird and I were joined by Radio.com insider Rick Bucher, who
yes.
said that he believed two big takeaways were, A, he doesn't think in the long run that Brad Stevens is the man for this job.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of spicy.
It's a wiggy take.
That was... yeah, he shouted him out afterwards, too. Said, oh, bad body Wiggins?
He
man,
said,
that guy's a genius.
Bucher out.
That's how he ended it. Yes. Then he tweeted, said, thanks yeah. for having me on, guys. Just Bucher out.
And then
it was
he did
just,
the 50-cent
gift. But that also, he thought that it was definitely to the Celtics' benefit that if they were going to emotionally involve him come of age, considering what they've been through and how long they've been locked up in there, that it was definitely a good thing that they get that because anyone who's in a long-term relationship, married, you're working together, you're in a bubble, get it out. You know,
yeah.
you're only
yeah.
as sick as many secrets as you happen to have together. So,
but I also think
and I think it worked to their benefit.
And just adding Gordon Hayward into the mix is huge because after hitting your head against the wall, you know, back to back games or you know throwing chairs against the wall or whatever, you're like, all right, not only does maybe either shot selection or, you know, effort throughout the entire game have to change, but like what else can change? Well, here's something easy, because we're now putting our fourth, fifth, or sixth best player, however you want to rank them, into the lineup. Miami's not getting anybody back. Like that's their team, and Spoelstra can change the rotations or whatever, but that's their group. Whereas the Celtics are getting a legitimate player back in there. And you saw how they broke up the minutes. I mean, Cantor, Williams, and Wanamaker all played under 10 minutes. So it was really six guys. It was six guys that were going to play, and that's what it's going to have to take to win. But at the same time, Miami was so on fire throughout the playoffs that one loss, I'm not going to say, ooh, now they're going to go and lose 4 out of 5. I still, like, we talked about this.
Lost two games in the playoffs so
right,
far.
And we talked about it on Friday. You know, like, oh, is this over? I'm like, yeah, I think the series is over. Now, I didn't think the Celtics were going to get swept. I thought, you know, they would be able to win a game or maybe two. But to win 4 out of 5 against a Heat team that had just been rolling, and, you know, they're not going to shoot. What did they shoot from three in the game? Like 27%? You know they're going to be better than that in this game.
Oh, they'll definitely be better than that. But do you buy into that idea that I floated Friday? I'd like to revisit it again now, that the 4 days off would benefit the Celtics more than it would benefit the Heat.
I think because it benefits Hayward individually the most, I think
probably more than anybody.
Vis-a-vis,
sure.
Yeah, it would help them.
Yeah, it's, but there's a little bit of a, if they had to come right back at it tonight, that there's still momentum that can be ridden from that.
But is there something about the
4 days
team
off though? New series.
But what kinda about the team that loses just having to sit on that for 4 days and not be satisfied, and probably, like, I bet Jimmy Butler is just an angry, angry guy down there.
Sure.
For 3 or 4 days.
Okay, he could be angry all he wants, but like Dale said just a few minutes ago, he hasn't really, I mean, he closed in those first two games. He was there when they needed him late.
Yeah. No, he's but not lit the world on fire.
He has not taken a game over yet.
But I blame him way more for game three, because games one and two, and I think he does this too much where he kind of just is passive and he wants to get his teammates involved. Like, okay, but at some level, you're the superstar. You need to get it done. But when you win, you win.
Right.
So, all right, what more does Jimmy Butler need to do? They won. But in that game where you're looking around and you're like, hey, the other guys on the team don't have it, like Duncan Robinson, actually, he hit some of the shots, but Dragic was bad. Crowder was bad.
Duncan Robinson is a machine.
Oh, he could shoot. That's it, though. But that's it. So yeah, you got to go at him on defense. And like in game one, they got him out of the game because he can't keep up with those guys, so he gets into foul trouble. But Butler needed to get going way sooner, and then by the time he didn't really even get going. I know he added some points late, but he was a real non-factor in the game.
By the way, this wasn't just for Game 3 the other night, but really for this entire playoff series. Does Brad Stevens have a bit of a toot on when he's doing these coaches' interviews? I mean, snippy and short and...
Yeah, he does. Like, you're not Popovich.
It's like they're making him do this or something.
Well, I think they are.
They kind of. That's exactly
yeah,
how it 100% works.
They are.
Like, you
yeah
have to do this weird Rachel Nichols interview.
But
with
he's like so frustrated, and yet, and then like Popovich and Belichick can do it, but they're kind of in a certain class. Right. Like everybody else, like I have a little respect, right? Like, mm-hmm, what is it really going to kill you to give more than a 2-word answer?
Spoelstra at least acts like, you know, he's a decent human being and.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and Brad Stevens is doing the Belichick thing, but I don't know why.
Yeah, because it's not like they're grilling him and they're like, hey, when you blew game three against the Raptors, how'd you feel about that? Like, they're not doing that. They're like, hey, like, you know,
Miami's shooting well. What adjustments do you have to make? Yeah, I mean,
we didn't play good.
Hey, the new attitude's working, though. Maybe he decided, how about,
no,
I'll take a heel
game
turn.
Game two, he was acting like that, too.
Yeah, but if the heel turn helps his team win, I'll totally take a Brad Stevens heel turn the rest of the way. He just decides to be a jerk.
Starts wearing all black.
Yeah.
Like, bro, what are you doing? He wears the team colors.
Hey, why don't you shut up? Whoa.
Shut up.
Hey, why don't you watch your mouth?
Whoa.
Who's this guy? But he's always so nice. That's the thing.
Yeah.
He's so milquetoast. We've talked
he's
a
so
times
pleasant in real yeah life. He every year, he's come down and you know, appeared at the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon and has been on our show, Rich.
Yeah.
He couldn't be nicer.
Like a
couldn't
slice
be more
of
pleasant
white bread.
He's great with all the kids. He's great with the staff. He just couldn't be nicer. And then I watch him do these in-game interviews, and it's like, really? I mean,
a little surly.
Good. Like, real surly.
Yeah,
oh, Fitzy likes it.
I like it.
Yeah,
I would like him to, you know, coach better. I don't care what he does.
It's like a little more edge. Yeah. You know what? Miami has taken the fight to you.
Maybe he'll grow a goatee.
That's going to take. Does he look like somebody who could grow a goatee in
maybe
5 days?
Get a fake one.
But it's going to be pretty obvious.
Get like a neck tattoo.
Where does.
You think he'll do that?
Oh,
Oh, and look, Brad Stevens has a tear tattoo. Fresh ink on Celtics
shave
coach.
His head and get one right on his skull.
I want him to get like a spider web on his elbow. I think it'd be badass. I think it'd be intimidating. How many
Briar
coaches?
Patch on his neck, yes. Going right up onto his face.
Yeah,
it just or says like mom as a collar on his neck.
Why not? Help, don't you think it would intimidate? Maybe Spoelstra a little bit.
Make him look less like a manager at Staples.
That's right. Yeah. Nah, actually, I'm the assistant manager, but my manager's out right now. How can I help you?
I'd like to speak to your manager.
I'm the assistant to the assistant manager.
Well, he's not in right now, but I can help you with whatever your
and now instead
needs
of
are.
Someone just being like. I asked where I could get the ink and toner. Now, Brad, instead of being like, well, sir, maybe we can give you 10% off, and can we offer you some refreshments? Now it's going to be like, hey, stupid, which part of the manager isn't here right now? Did you not understand?
I would recommend this package here. It's both the black ink and the color ink and two in one.
If you need any more assistance, my name is Brad. I can help you whenever you need.
You know what, Brad? I don't need your help. Why don't you take it to the back? Good for
you. I will say that if ever there was a time where players do not want 4 days off in between games... It's when you've been in the bubble for 70 days.
Oh, it's brutal. Yeah.
It's like, oh, come on. Really?
I think Van Gundy even mentioned that. He's like, there's going to be a lot of really bored guys.
You really, really think they honor in a bubble for 3 months?
Well, some are, some aren't. Daniel House had a workaround there where he brought in a COVID
tester.
Well,
he tried to have a workaround. He got caught. He got busted with it.
He did.
These things happen.
He got booted out of there.
I just think the last thing they want is, really, I got to spend more time sitting here?
No, that's definitely not what they want. Now, Fitz, you thought the series wasn't over. This is back when it was 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
You think the Celtics can pull this off?
I do. If they win tomorrow night,
that's how that was the debut of Optimus Prime.
Optimus Prime is ready to roll.
Assemble. There he is.
Need more of that stinky attitude from Brad Stevens. Maybe you know what?
Brad.
Hey, how about maybe he shows up? Maybe he shows up on the sideline Wednesday night. For the game.
Is that a switchblade? And Brad Stevens hey, just over there
you think
just
he's
like
gonna
playing
have a
with
weapon?
A butterfly knife?
Sure.
You think he's going to have a weapon on the sideline? I don't think so.
I want more of that attitude because the team played with an attitude
what
the other night.
What if he drives around Disney in a Harley? like brings it in like Eric Bischoff
Dale,
from Nitro.
Badass.
They lower it from the ceiling. He's on a motorcycle, which made no sense.
Right.
Because you weren't driving it. You're just lowering it from the ceiling.
Hey, what if LeBron does obviously like his evil wizard incantation with the chalk when he throws
he
up and invites
summon
the spirits?
Demons.
Maybe Brad summons demons. Maybe Brad starts it off with like a nice little XXX right there. Like a little, crotch
a
chop.
Crotch chop for Brad Stevens.
Come on. We need every stop we can.
Yeah.
We all agree. Miami's more youthful. Miami's shooting better. Miami has more depth.
Better coached.
The Celtics need wow.
They're better coached.
Okay, they have.
That's not even an oh wow. No. Like, they are. Eric Spoelstra's a better coach than Brad Stevens.
So far.
Okay, no, ever.
Why don't you wait until Brad Stevens just knocks Spoelstra out right on the sideline?
I don't think Spoelstra took Butler to the finals 2 years in a row. Yeah, you got me there.
He's an extension of Pat Riley, and he stinks.
Okay.
Now it's fair to say
he's
though
better.
that Spoelstra won an NBA title.
Yeah.
Because he had the best player in the world, right?
He won a couple times.
No, I know. I mean, he had
also lost two of them.
But he was also able to get the Heat back to the playoffs a few times post LeBron. You know, when they didn't have a ton of talent. No, I think he's good.
I think he does a very good job. I think that he has done a better job coaching than Brad Stevens has in this series.
Yeah.
But I thought that Brad had some adjustments in game three, did some things differently, got his team to Fitzy's point, to be more aggressive, mm-hmm. slash to the basket.
Yes.
All those things we were bitching about in game two, they were doing in game three. Yeah. Do we not give him credit when they do it?
No, the fact that they were able to beat the zone finally, I think you have to give him some credit because I was giving him a lot of blame before. Getting Gordon Hayward back, that obviously helps too. That's not really a coaching thing. That's just he was now available, and he wasn't available before. You know, Miami missed a million threes, but whatever. You know, you missed a bunch of threes in game two. So that happens. You know, some nights the guys are going to be hot. Some nights they're not. So, we'll see how they react here because I think, you know, once both teams get a win in a series, I think it's even more interesting. All right, now it's four straight games against the same opponent. What do you have up your sleeve? You know, did he already empty the tank with stuff? Or does he have some more changes he can make? And same with Spoelstra.
And how many more changes do you need to make when you've seen something that works? You can go back to what was, depending on what kind of changes Miami makes. I don't know if I would want to, you know, reconfigure things so much as just hope that the 4 days off benefits a guy like Hayward, that your guys don't stray too far with the 4 days off, that they're rested, ready, and refreshed
Nobody
for Wednesday night. Yeah, just don't anyone, don't anyone,
caught.
Lou Williams, don't anyone actually go, you know, don't do anything that I would do.
So Fitzy's very glass full, I would even say.
Oh, not even half full. It's right? Overflowing.
Like, now, there's room for a sip. Like, you're not going to spill the glass.
There's
if
a
you
little
carry
bit
it.
You can move around. But yeah. you have a lot of good news as it relates to the Celtics. Believe it or not, guys, I have some good news as it relates to the Boston Red Sox.
The Red Sox magic number is 7.
7!
That's right, guys. 7 days left in this hot mess of a season. 7 days, and they are done. They've been playing games this whole time, believe it or not. They have 1 week left of baseball games, and then they are done.
That's it?
Magic number of 7.
That's it.
But they just beat the Yankees yesterday. I mean, they're
on
a roll.
They sure did. They're hot. They're hot. They're going to start winning games now to mess up their draft status. Classic.
Celtics got a big win Saturday. The Sox got a big win yesterday. Don't stop them now.
That Boston parlay coming in hot.
How about the guy, and I'm not even going to say disparaging things because I have a feeling there's some mental health issues going on here, who climbed the back of the Green Monster to climb his way into the empty ballpark.
How do you like that?
And was standing up on the camera stanchion, screaming at the players and throwing hats at them and stuff.
Was that the guy from the Free Solo movie?
Might have been.
The Free Climber.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Who among us hasn't been desperate enough to want to go get a Fenway Frank this season and
a
catch
monster
the old
dog?
Look, as I texted
you ever had a monster dog?
As I texted you guys earlier,
I'm asking the wrong guy.
You're asking the wrong guy.
As I texted to you guys earlier, my surprise was that somebody was trying to get in.
Yeah, that is a shock. That is the biggest upset
the
of the season.
I climbed the monster to get out.
How did I get stuck in here?
I know. They caught Verdugo twice the other night.
My friend Tom McVee used to say of really bad teams, he says, we ought to let them in for free, but charge them to get out.
Yeah.
Because then you'll make your money.
Yeah, that guy, he wanted to get in there, and he was committed to it. But 7 days left.
7 days.
That's it.
Seven big ones.
That's it. 1 week, guys.
That's it.
1 week.
Not bad. We can do
oh,
this.
Oh, that's great.
We can do it.
And we got
We're there.
A couple more Renekes.
That's it.
An ice cold Renekes. One.
Speaking of, I believe we have Pocket Money coming up next year with Kyle Driven.
Oh, no.
Pocket Money?
That's what we should change the name of the show.
Why?
That's already taken. What do you mean, why? Are you not well-versed in the Nick Fitzy Stevens television career?
No, sure, but like, come
no,
on. Sure. Don't blame.
No, sure. No, the answer's no, man.
That means no.
If you don't get the reference, Shyam, that's fine. But don't be like, oh, where'd you come up with that? Okay.
I thought you were insulting me and my winnings.
Well, we do, but that wasn't.
Because it fills more than just your pockets.
It was topical because, forget it.
Because I hosted one of the, I mean, there's a long
list. Did you win an Emmy for this?
I did not.
Oh.
Nope.
Under any name at all?
Did you get a nom?
Nope. No ace. I have but a ace nomination and a Emmy in my
Paul
life.
Must have been pretty upset about that.
Yes, that's right. Then, of course, the Emmy went to a fake person. It's not even real. It's not even real.
It is a Free Money Monday, or better known as Pocket Money. We'll find out if
Fitzy is
back into the garage or maybe a chance to move back into the house. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, and it's time to trend.
Fitzy joins Dale and Keefe every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WEEI.
Buffalo is going to roll in this game. Give me the Bills laying 5.5 points.
What?
This is a classic let it fly shootout. Over 53.5 Atlanta and the Cowboys. The Los Angeles Rams were favored by a point against the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday.
Yeah!
I'm now getting a point to pick the Rams. I'm going to take the point and pick the Rams because the Rams are undoubtedly the better team here. And the Eagles stink. They smell. Guy won me so much money last year that
let's
I can't
go back to the well.
Root against. And I don't know why I didn't pick him last week. It was a clear cut win. And I just didn't do it because I'm an idiot. Give me the Baltimore Ravens laying 7 at the Houston Texans.
Big bounce back for Shyam, which means a big bounce back for Fitzy's pocketbook, right?
That's
huge.
Right. Huge.
Huge bounce back there. And we all kind of laughed at you about that Bills-Dolphins pick. That was the only one that didn't go your way. Although Josh Allen
was good.
And it easily
could have.
It should have.
It could have.
Here we go.
The stinking, smelling, rotting fish of South Beach.
I'm not saying it should have. I'm just saying it could have. In
okay,
that
it could have.
The Bills were up 10.
Right.
And they let the Dolphins drive all the way down and score a meaningless touchdown.
Your snowflake. So, but that's nice because week one with Fitzy's money, you went 0-3-1. So you had the push in there, but
did you hear Fitzy moan
sure did.
At that?
Three losses. Mm-hmm.
Do you hear my kids moan whenever I don't cook the ramen and I just say eat the dry noodles because that's all we can afford?
They
this
are
week.
Getting
can
afford thin. The water. I noticed they're getting quite thin. So 3-1 though, that's nice. That's got to feel pretty good.
It
so,
feels very good.
So what is that? 3-4-1.
So correct. You're still 3-4-1.
Still chasing it a little bit.
Yeah,
okay.
But
overall,
only down a little bit. Well, not a lot.
Like a quarter unit? What are you down here?
No, just over a half a unit.
Half a unit, just
over it.
You're doing
now,
all right.
Now, I also texted Shime on the side, and I said, now, are we only allowed to just bet on your four picks? And he said, no, if you want some other action, go ahead.
You're trying to sprinkle?
Uh-oh. All right, so what happened was...
Here we go.
He made the mistake, not me.
Dad got a little desperate.
No, you got to stick by Shime. He's 60% winners.
I know, in the long run, but I had a feeling yesterday.
No, it's not your feeling, it's Shime's feeling.
And he only hit on one of those three feelings.
You had three feelings?
I put three feelings. I had four feelings, but I could only... Okay.
What were the bets?
All right. I made a parlay.
No.
A parlay.
Nope.
No, don't do that. No,
stay,
never.
Stay away from the parlay.
So wait.
Everybody knows that.
There's no sex in the champagne room.
We know that.
And you have to stay away from the parlay.
And talk about Fight Club. These are the only ones.
Or Pint Club. Okay, talk about Pint Club. Can't talk about Fight Club.
Yeah.
Okay. But the parlay looks so delicious.
What
you know
is
what
it?
Is? Have you ever gone to a diner?
No.
And you see...
Let me stop you right there.
And you see all the pies in the caddy, and you're just like...
I've never ordered all of the pies. I've never once said, hey, give me one of all of them. Shine, put your hand down.
So what I did
I've never done that.
I decided I was so hungry when I got to the diner that I got a slice of three pies, and I put them on the same plate, and I tried to eat them at once.
What were they?
Okay. It was...
Tampa Bay laying 8, Pittsburgh laying 6.5, and the Jets getting 7.5.
The Jets? You bet on the Jets?
Here goes.
What is wrong with you?
He said, and I quote, Shime, I have a feeling.
It was 21-3 at the half, and the Niners didn't have any of their players.
I know.
They lost all their players.
I had a feeling that San Francisco was going to get very injured.
They didn't matter.
Plus,
you bet
Adam Gase was
Jets.
Called out as an offense.
Unbelievable. First of all, you go away from Shime.
I knew that it would pay.
You go away from Shime. It did not pay. You go away from Shime's picks, which is what you're supposed to do. That's the safety net. That's the trust tree.
No,
Shime's picks.
Cover.
You should have asked Shime for more picks then. He's got plenty of them. He's got a whole podcast full of picks. And you said, you know what I'm going to do? First of all, parlay. Wrong.
Bad idea.
Second of all, I'm going to bet on the Jets. Let's change the rules.
Another bad idea.
Change the rules. Put that on there. That's rule 1B. Never bet on the Jets. Bet against them all you want. Don't bet on the Jets.
I have many rules, and this season, that is number one on my list.
Number one!
Never bet on the Jets.
I'm out. I'll never bet on them again.
You learned a lesson.
I had to get burned.
I can clarify it even more for you.
Listen, sometimes you have to put your finger in the socket or stand too close to the campfire to get burned and know not to do it again.
Don't bet on the Jets, because I bet on the Giants and won this week. So it's not just bet against the Jets. Never bet on Adam Gase. Why would you ever want to do that?
Mike Francesa appears to fought while ripping Adam Gase.
Well, never bet on the Jets.
It's like betting on Matt Patricia.
Also terrible. Also a terrible idea.
The only thing I'm betting on Matt Patricia is being the first coach fired.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling it might be
Gase. Or an over because they're going to allow a lot of points.
I'm not looking back. We're looking forward.
So the one I didn't... So Pittsburgh covered, right?
Pittsburgh did not cover. They only won by 5. The only one you covered on was Tampa Bay.
But you know what? It was exciting.
And you needed a
it was fun. I was in it for
Fournette run at the end to even get the cover.
I was in it for at least half a quarter.
That I don't get.
See, he should have gone with my parlay.
Okay,
which hit?
What was your parlay?
I had a four-leg tease.
Here we go.
A tease is not a parlay.
Four-way.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, tease is not a parlay.
It's a tease.
Okay, I mean, there's still four legs to it.
It's a teaser.
Still four things need to happen.
Yeah, but you get to mess around with all the point spreads.
Well, yeah, you're
right. But parlays have bigger payouts.
Sure, but I guaranteed a dub.
Teaser
you did not.
Is nothing but a tease. That's all that really is.
Mm-hmm. It's in the title.
Yeah, it's a four-leg teaser. There you go.
Teaser, thank you.
Okay, thank you. So what was your four-legger?
I got Pittsburgh basically just to win. They were a pick 'em. The over in the Pittsburgh game, the over in the Tampa Bay game, and the over in the San Francisco game.
And what was that, 100 to win 100? Like, the teasers don't pay anything.
It was plus 250.
Still. Four
not
games
bad.
At that.
It's not bad.
If you parlayed those bad boys.
And do you think how badly.
And they wouldn't have hit. Then so.
How badly he had to
then
sweat
pick winners.
So what did
I did.
What did you do on the Fournette touchdown?
You didn't. It's a teaser.
You must have lost your mind during that Fournette
touchdown. I went bananas.
Yes. Yeah, remember, he texted us.
Oh, that's like, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I also would have had a lot of money if Ryan Izzo happened to score a touchdown.
He did feel a little, he felt a little frisky.
I was feeling very frisky.
He went Ryan Izzo to score a touchdown during the game.
Was it like plus 550 or some
that's
silly
exactly
number?
What it was, Dale.
Really?
It was kind of in
did
the,
you get
like,
a unit on that?
Not quite. I went a half a unit.
Half a unit. Yeah, cut that unit in half.
Because I figured.
Well, Fitzy, I think what happened was
case, our unit's a dollar.
No, it is not.
No. Yes, Dale.
I feel like, sure. Sure.
There's a minimum amount you can bet, Dale, so my unit is not a dollar.
It's one Klingon scribble.
It's a bag of bobbish. Mm-hmm. So Fitzy learned many valuable lessons here in just week two. Mm-hmm. So
two big ones.
You can apply those going forward.
Yes.
Don't bet on Gase, and don't do a parlay unless you consult me first.
Okay. And also just trust you in the long run because, once again,
he's gonna
pick
winners.
A marathon, not a sprint. Right. You went 3-1, could have gone 4-0. We're 3-4-1 in the season.
3-4-1.
Battling right back.
All right.
We're going to be positive next week. I can feel it.
That's he's seeing the board well, he said.
Certainly. He is definitely said. He's grease penciling.
I told
you
I was the North Star this week, and I
You're not wrong. You're not wrong about that.
All I have to hope is that my wife is not in the car right now listening to this segment on the way back to the house going, wait, you've been doing what?
When you're up two or three units next week, she'll be okay with it.
So we were talking about how great you did because Scheim had such a huge week. And then you went and gave it all back.
Right.
Well, I only gave like a unit back.
We're not going to count that against Scheim, though. That's not his problem.
A little less than a unit, Dale.
A little less than a unit. Right.
Skosh.
A skosh more than a unit. No. So, just because we like to pick these things, have you got a Monday night pick here, Scheim? Because
what are you
the first
feeling?
Game ever in Vegas.
Ooh.
So
ooh.
It's a weird thing because I don't think the Saints are as good as people think they are. I just think Drew Brees is a little lackluster for me. Michael Thomas is out tonight. But at the same time, I also think the Raiders are very good. I think they beat up on a really bad Carolina team last week. So I'm not really sure how I feel about picking a team.
Do
but
you
I
have
do
a pick?
Like, yes, I do have a pick.
Let's get to it.
I know.
Do you have a pick?
Trying to flesh it out for you a little bit.
No, I don't. All right, next thing.
I'm going to go with the over in this game.
What's the number?
I believe it was 48.5 last time I checked. I'm going to take the over 48.5 here, New Orleans and Vegas.
I think the Raiders getting 5.5 is the play.
Getting 5.5?
Yeah, they're a home
with
dog.
With no Michael Thomas?
Home dog, yeah.
Not near the Saints are not nearly as good. They're a 500 team at best on the road. You don't have Michael Thomas.
Home dog's
Raiders defense is okay-ish.
It's not.
No, it's not.
Okay. It's not.
All right, let's be
honest.
It's
actually down to 4, Keith. It's no longer 5.
Wow.
So,
oh, I was looking at 5.5.
There's a lot of action.
So everybody's going.
What do they call those? The sharps?
I'm still going.
Yeah, the sharps are betting heavy. Speaking of the sharps, can I just say the sharps are a bunch of idiots? Oh. According to
Shannon Sharp?
The Golden Gate Sports Book out in Vegas had 1,500 people weigh in on the Rams and Eagles game, and over 1,000 of them picked the Eagles. Picked the Eagles.
Wow.
Like a bunch of morons. I don't understand that. They moved the line for me a whole 2 points.
Take it.
They're a terrible bad football team.
They are. They
for the Eagles?
Smell.
Yeah, the Eagles
they
are a mess.
They stink.
Jalen Hurts time?
I should have checked.
You went on Hurts?
Yeah.
Well, I am. I like Hurts.
I should have checked this out, but I didn't yet. Is Vegas one of the places where they're allowed to have some fans in their brand new building?
There had been discussion that fans would be allowed. However, I believe this to be a fan-free debut of the beautiful new Allegiant Stadium. Is it a field? Is it a stadium or a field?
It's a stadium.
It's a stadium. Very good.
So no fans tonight in Vegas.
No fans.
Well, everybody's kind of getting used to that anyway. When we come back in just a couple of minutes, LeBron didn't win the MVP this year.
Aww.
Because Giannis won it for the second straight year. LeBron is a little salty about that.
Poor guy.
What else you got coming up next? Dale and Keith with Fitzy, Sports Radio WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keith with Fitzy on WEEI.
All right, let's get to a couple of things that we may have missed earlier in the program.
What else you got?
Fitzy.
Well, Dale, I was so locked on Patriots last night, that unbelievable Pats-Hawks game, that I actually missed every single moment of an event that I usually enjoy partaking in. I love me an award show, Dale. I love pop culture. I love television. I love movies. I had no interest, though, really, in watching the Emmys last night, or as host Jimmy Kimmel dubbed them, the Pandemmys.
Well, hello and welcome to the Pandemmys. Wow, it's great to finally see people again. Thank you for risking everything to be here. Thank me for risking everything to be here. You know what they say, you can't have a virus without a host.
Come on.
Come on, guys.
Let's go. Everybody.
All right. Now, this raises many questions.
Okay.
Number one, Dale, I'm not sure if you know this, but he was doing the the monologue in an empty arena to nobody.
I saw bits and pieces of it. During commercial breaks of the Patriots game, my wife would have me flip over. And
Oh, wow. You guys were raucous night at the Arnold House.
Yeah, well, you go crazy.
So, obviously, he was doing the monologue by himself. They brought the laugh track in and old shots of people in there. I think, as Rich was saying earlier, why do we even need the Emmys? Why do we need an award show? I think even Kimmel asked that at
Kimmel
one point
did.
Last
He's
night.
Like, no, seriously. Like, what are we doing here?
Why don't we have an award show?
I guess some people liked it, though.
Yeah, did they? I mean, the at-home Emmys and seeing people with
their... They zoomed in a lot of people, so they had,
awards and computers. Different.
They had a few people there with them. They did a good bit early on with Jennifer Aniston where they, were trying to sanitize the winning envelope, and they lit it on fire. Then they put it out, and the fire came back.
It wouldn't go out.
Yeah, so it wasn't bad.
I don't know. It just, I get it, but, you need new television all the time. My bigger question, why do we need Jimmy Kimmel as the host? He's doing the Oscars. Can we not find...
Ricky Gervais is too
That's exactly too scary. Who we need.
And
this
and he can't travel. He can't come into the country. He's not allowed.
But is there nobody else that can host
it? Zoom.
Jason Bateman hosted.
Yeah, he was there for a minute. He's good.
How about the little tuxedo hazmat suits that they would dispatch to the nominees' homes?
Yeah, it's pretty funny. They're basically and then deliver a mascot outfit.
Yeah.
I like that. So.
What else you got?
Rich?
Well, LeBron James did not win the NBA MVP, and he was pretty sad about it.
Pissed me off. That's my true answer. It pissed me off because... out of 101 votes, I got 16 first place votes. That's what pissed me off more than anything. You know, not saying that the winner wasn't deserving of the MVP, but that pissed me off. I finished second a lot in my career, either from a championship and now four times as an MVP. Like I said, I never came into this league saying let me be MVP or be a champion. I've always said I just want to get better and better every single day, and those things that take care of yourself. There's some things that's just out of my hand and some things you can't control, but it pissed me off.
Where do I start? Where do I start?
It's more how much else you got?
This thing is so amazing. Every part of that is amazing. He's crying. I was so upset I didn't get more first place votes. Not saying the winner isn't deserving. Yeah, you kind of are.
That's just what you
said. If he got the first place votes, then wouldn't he be more deserving? He says he went into the league never wanting to win championships or the MVP. Isn't that literally everybody's goal is to win the championships and then also, be the best player that you can be? Mm-hmm. No, his goal is to get better every day. I finished second all the time in my career, and he's blaming the writers for the voting, but then he also said he came in second in the finals a bunch. That's on you.
Mm-hmm.
You also guaranteed 8 titles when you went to Miami,
yet
it was never even
three,
a goal of his.
Not 4.
And how about this? If you're looking at just Giannis versus LeBron stats, Giannis scored more points, had more rebounds, had more blocks, had a better field goal percentage, was the defensive player of the year, and his team won more games. So I ask you, who was more deserving of the MVP this year, Giannis or LeBron? Not close. Not even close.
It's those 16 votes that really made him sad, though.
He got 16 votes. What were those 16 people looking at? Why did those 16 vote for him over Giannis?
He deserves it every year.
It's a regular season award.
It should just be called the LeBron James Award.
You can't factor in Giannis's departure in the playoffs. It's a regular season award. Giannis was better, and LeBron feels so sad about it. Give me a break.
What else you got?
So Deion Sanders announced some time ago that he was going to leave the NFL Network, and he kind of hinted that he wanted to be a coach. Then he signed a deal with Barstool, which surprised us a little bit. I mean, do you leave the NFL Network to go to Barstool? He did. And then he started his podcast at Barstool yesterday, and he had a big announcement to make. And he announced that he will be the new head football coach at Jackson State University, a public, historically black university in Jackson, Mississippi. Division I FCS school. So today, he had made the announcement yesterday on his podcast. Today, it was time to trot out the new head football coach at Jackson State. So, they bring Deion into the stadium with a police escort led in by the Sonic Boom of the South, the marching band at Jackson State University. How does he live up to all of this? He's never coached anything in his life at this level. And he's got a marching band and a police escort to lead him into the stadium to make the announcement that he's the new head football coach. How long will it take for him to get bored being the football coach in Jackson, Mississippi?
Well, Dale, I ask you this. What exactly are the exacting standards of Jackson State? I mean,
he's going to recruit the hell out of that place.
Isn't that a pretty low bar in the first place?
They're going to be loaded.
I will tell you that when I was looking this up earlier today, I saw that their graduation rate at Jackson State was 37%.
That's 5% more than 32.
Good point.
I guess he's going to be a football coach now, but I would have expected he'd want more bang for his buck than Jackson State, but that's where he's going to be.
That's 5% better than Ohio State. Or like BC or any of these other schools, Dale. Hi, Dale.
There you go.
Christian
Fourier.
Hi, Dale.
Hey.
Hi, Dale. So unexpected crossover.
Ohio State and BC are only 32%?
Yeah, I have no idea. I know. Listen, you want to be a good college coach, you better recruit the hell out of it. Stack the deck and you'll be winning.
What do we owe this pleasure
well,
to?
Well, you know, I have an issue with Fitzy.
Oh, yeah. Now what?
I can't believe you guys haven't called him. I'm listening going, somebody, I can't believe how quickly he has turned on Tom Brady.
That was a month ago. Where have you been?
I know, but it no,
where have
but
you been? He turned on him forever.
Wait a second. Oh, this has been, this has been forever.
I can't. You're like, you're calling him names. You're talking.
I call him today?
Like, you know, grumpy of all time. It's
he's the grumpiest of all time.
Really
last year,
what is it that Cam Newton did that completely made you forget all about
Where do we
Tom
start?
Brady?
How much time do you have?
The greatest quarterback. Yeah, your hero,
Cam DeLorean.
Still,
he's great.
He still is.
It's so quick. I don't know. Like, I got a text, and I just feel like I had to talk to you about it.
Don't.
People's feelings are hurt, Fitzy.
Whose feelings are hurt?
People's feelings.
Tom
People's
Brady's.
Feelings are hurt.
People's feelings.
Tom Brady.
I think the direct quote was, "Et tu, Fitzy?"
Oh no!
I'm just saying.
Oh,
I don't know what to tell you.
Fitzy has to rethink everything.
Now I got
to
et tu, Fitzy.
I ask you, Christian. Do you not sometimes have to do things to stem the emotional hurt, the pain?
So is it kind of like that those religions where you whip yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Like
self-flagellation.
Whole,
yes.
That's what
the guy from Da Vinci Code did that.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Save the guy from the Scarlet Letter.
So we have one former Patriot tight end that is upset because Fitzy's being mean to Tom Brady. We have another former Patriot tight end who wants to give Cam Newton a lifetime contract.
That's not me.
No, I know. I know which one is which.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you don't want to pay.
We'll get into that.
Cam Cleland.
Were you not impressed?
Stop this puppy poop.
Daniel Graham, ladies and gentlemen. Were you not impressed last night, Christian? Were you not entertained?
I was.
Okay.
I was.
All right.
I was. I was completely entertained. He's better than I thought he was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I was wrong, as Glenn Ordy would say.
OMF is coming up next. Tomorrow, we'll get a chance to visit with Keyshawn Johnson, get his thoughts on what we called a good loss last night, if there is such a thing. Fitzy, we'll see you on Wednesday. Rich, we'll talk tomorrow.
Yep.
Talk to you all later. Bye.
Yes, it is.
No, that's all, folks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.